Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Jeremiah 38. Thank you, team. Appreciate you. Thank you, ministers. Let's go. Let's stand up on our feet for the reading of God's word if you're able to. Jeremiah 38, verse 14 to 23, New King James. Loosed by faith or bound by fear? That's what I've entitled it. I'm going to go with loosed by faith. How many of you want to be loosed by faith? You want to go in? Yeah. Okay. Well, you can be shackled. You can be bound by fear. Then Zedekiah, the king, sent and had Jeremiah, verse 14, Jeremiah 38, New King James, on the screen as well, verse 14. Said and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. The king said to Jeremiah, I'll ask you something. Hide nothing from me. This is a secret meeting he has with the prophet. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah, the king, swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. Verse 17, and Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. The city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. Verse 19, then Zedekiah, it's a key verse for tonight. Then Zedekiah, the king, said to Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word of the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. And these women shall say, your closest friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire. They have turned away again. And there's more, which I will talk to you about. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we're going into this new year with great expectancy. I pray that all the PTSD and the trauma and the difficulty of 2025 be broken off of your people tonight, off of this house where it might be lingering. Fear would go and faith would be released in a new way to loose us into all that you have. We thank you that the word of the Lord towards us, your plan, your intention is to bless us, to use us as your hand extended even to the nations of the world. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm loosed into the new year. You may be seated. Little true confessions of Pastor Daniel. I think I was 9, 10 maybe. Lived in a place on Long Island, New York called Ofield. It had gotten late at night. And I should have been home already. It was dusk and dark. And I was riding my bike. And I backed into this hiding place that I had and scared myself. Anybody know what that's like? I was like scared. And I backed in a little bit more. And a branch came on my shoulder that felt like a hand. So I raced. I was on my Schwinn. And I just schwinned that thing all the way back to the neighbor's house where my family was there and they were having dinner or something like that. And I raced in and I said, a man tried to grab me. Well, they instantly got on 911 and the police came looking for the man who touched the little boy and tried to, and that does happen, especially these days, unfortunately. But as I began to, as the police were coming and stuff, I'm thinking, that was a branch, but I didn't tell anybody until now. It's under the blood. Come on, somebody say it's under the blood. I did repent, but I had not made a public confession, except maybe to my brother Chris, who might be on. I think he's down in Puerto Rico or something. It's an inside joke. Costa Rica. I said Puerto Rico, not Colombia, Puerto Rico, which is an inside joke. Love you if you're on. Peace. Praise the Lord. Fear. Don't give into it. Don't cave into it. It's what controlled this king, Zedekiah. Judah's history here, just briefly, the kingdom had been divided. And really, Judah is under judgment. And Jeremiah, knowing that Jerusalem is under God's judgment, attempted to warn the people from the Babylonians, but they wouldn't hear. They called him Crazy Jerry. I'm kind of making that up. Jerry is short for Jeremiah. Okay. They threw him in a pit. They did a bunch of stuff. They didn't stuff to him. They didn't like him. They didn't like his word. They didn't like his prophecy. They didn't want to believe that that was what was going to happen. And yet, it was the word of the Lord. In the passage that we read, the king is asking what the word of the Lord is. But Jeremiah says, you're not going to obey it. How many of you know what it says on the New Testament? If you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey. Well, what happens when we don't obey? What does that actually mean then? Does that mean that you don't love him? Just asking. I'm afraid of the Jews who have defected the Chaldeans. And the prophet tells him, surrender. The king chose to protect his image rather than obey. Verse 24 to 26, you see that. He hides the truth. In fact, the whole thing is a secret meeting. He's just crippled with shame and embarrassed. The result of him living or yielding to his fear and caving into the pressure of appearance and image is total destruction. It is so sad. Total destruction. All right, let me give you some points as we move into 2026 of how not to let fear rob you and how to have faith and be loosed into the 2026. So God has amazing things for you. It's all access. Everything you see around here all happened by faith. This building, everything that happened. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Zedekiah's basic problem was one of trust, or in the New Testament, Greek pistis, is faith, one of faith. See, more money is not going to solve your problem. What solves your problem is more faith, is a confident assurance of what God said and standing on it to see it come to pass. And that can be challenging because we like to see it. He didn't listen. He couldn't believe that God was going to help him. I've been there. And his greeting by this precious man at the airport, having not seen him for 30 years. And that's that's a real number, approximately 30 years. It was just the Lord saying, I do things that you don't even see. I answer prayers that have been prayed for you and for the congregation. I'm doing things in the world that are beyond anything that you can see. I had somebody call me 2 days ago and they said, Pastor, have you seen the world news? I said, well, yeah, but what are you talking about specifically? China surrounding Taiwan. I haven't seen that publicized anywhere, but I heard that and I wouldn't be surprised. So all kinds of things happening in Israel, all kinds of things happening with Ukraine and Russia. And it is just all over the world. You could easily cave into fear. I got one amen from one of our great leaders, and I thought, that's right somewhere else, but that's about it. You could cave into fear. If you constantly look around at circumstance, you constantly look around at the wind and the waves, then you're going to go to Davy Jones' locker. That's not good down there. You look at the wind and the waves, you look at circumstances all the time, you'll never move forward. Ecclesiastes says, if you're constantly looking at the cloud and the winds, then you'll never sow. John, 1 John 4 and verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out or casts out all fear. Matthew 6 and verse 25, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. All Zedekiah could think about is himself. I will tell you, if you're constantly thinking about yourself, here's a good little acid test for you. If you open your phone right now, go ahead. I won't invite you up. I'm not going to have you show any. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but you'll be embarrassed if the evidence is there. Open your phone. Open your photos. Now scroll through your recent photos. And if you see constant pictures of you, my God, Minister Hank, what is that? Jesus, help me right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. He didn't have any pictures of him. I'll take an occasional selfie, especially with my wife or whatever. But if you look at the catalog and the library of all of your photos, and it's like, it's you everywhere. You have a problem. All he could think about was himself. We get so caught up with ourselves. We all struggle with pride. Everyone struggles with pride. His fear, Zedekiah's fear, was rooted in a distortion about God. And when you have a distortion about God, you'll have a distortion about yourself. And if you have distortions about yourself, you'll cave into fear. You will lose. And you see this pattern throughout Scripture. You see the Old Testament, you see it in the New. Peter, remember Peter? Not the pumpkin eater, the Apostle Peter. He was preserving himself, self-preservation. So he denied the Lord three times. And then, He was afraid. He thought maybe it would just work out. He was yielding to his self-preservation and protecting himself. And that's real. All Zedekiah could think about about himself. His fear is rooted in really a distortion about God. Your faith in God will free you from fear. Faith in God will free you from fear. I don't know where it started. I think I got it in growing up, and it's a good thing. You know, it could be bad, but led by the Lord, it can be a good thing. I don't do fear. I'm not into fear. If I feel afraid of something, I run at it. I don't mean the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. I'm talking about just generally fear of people, fear of circumstances. I don't do it. I don't have scenarios that play in my head. I'm going to win. Now, that's just been in me since I was a kid. And I think it's from my mother, of course, and my father, and just hearing, you know, the power of the family, the word spoken. So I think I got it in me that I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I can do it. I'm a champion. I'm an All-American. I'm going to make it. There's nothing that can stop me. I mean, how many of you know there are things that, you know, can maybe take your life out if you're dumb. And there are accidents and stuff like that, but I just don't yield to fear. I'm not given to fear. And I think it's because of the way that I was raised. And then, of course, the grace of God. And I'm not looking to get tested on that or anything, Lord. I trust you. Amen. I was in my daughter's home with her anointed son-in-law, Derek, and our granddaughter. It was like every day was Christmas. We stayed at some friends' homes that lived about 10 minutes away. I kid you not, this is what happened. It was just, we'd wake up, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And we'd be like, they're probably up. We just straight over to their house. Straight over their house. I wanted to be there to pull that baby. I want to be there and grab that baby and pull her out of her crib when she's waking up. Oh my gosh, it's like every day. I mean, I looked at my steps. You know, I don't know if you like count your steps. My phone counts my steps. Christmas and like the day after was like 1,000 steps. That's like going to the bathroom back and forth and eating. That's all that is. Well, there's this book. I'm going somewhere about faith and fear and a confidence and a trust. It's imparted from the word. You need to learn. You need to grow. Every man is given a measure of faith, but your faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So you got to read the word. You got to get in the word. You got to share the word. You got to obey the word. You got to trust God. And that's a lifelong process. So as I'm there, it was so profound to me. My son-in-law is a beautiful black man. My daughter is white. How many of you know that makes sense? Okay. And there's two cultures that have come together, and it is remarkable to me. It's such a joy. It's the greatest joy next to being saved and married to this amazing woman on the front is what I'm seeing God doing in my family. It's astounding. So this precious 14-month-old daughter, granddaughter, comes and has this book, and it's called Barnyard Dance. It's just fascinating. Because you're going to get something. This is not just a random story. It's really like a revelation. She gives this book, Barnyard Dance. And I don't know who started it, but I think Derek started it. Started singing it. And but what I remember is when I started singing it. So isn't that just evidence of our own self? So I'm look at the book. And it's Barnyard Dance, and it says, and you can sing it. It's like it all rhymes, and it goes through this whole thing. So I open the book, and she's like, you know, read it. So I'm like, okay. Barnyard Dance, Barnyard Dance, Barnyard Dance, spinning in the cow into the big bad hell. So I do this redneck. That's what just comes out of me. Some of you are rednecks and don't know it. There's hicks and rednecks. A redneck is a tither. A hick. Now, a hick doesn't tithe. But I'm just serious. What comes out of me is like a country sort of thing. And it goes to somebody else, and they sing it sort of similarly. Then it goes back to Derek, who's the only black man in the room except for his daughter. Right? We okay here? We like. And he puts on a beat. He puts a beat on the TV. And it's a rap beat. He puts a beat on the TV and he raps the book. Like he throws it down. He spits some bars. Can I tell you? That little girl. It's just all. I mean, she starts moving around like, I'm like, man, something happens. And I'm watching, and I'm like, oh man, she's getting like an impartation. So here on one side of the family, the granddaughter, you know, white culture of what right? Can I get an amen? Okay, the native culture is different. I don't know what culture you come from, but I'm saying these two cultures are in the house, and I'm watching this beautiful thing, and I watch this impartation of rhythm, and sound. And that girl's like, I mean, like, seriously. And I thought, whoa. And she's going to, I mean, when worship comes on, she's just washing around and worshiping. She's going to be a worship leader and dance and all kinds of stuff. What does that have to do with what you're talking about right now? Will you understand, please, that your role is to live this life out for God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and strength. And when you yield to fear, it puts that on people just like what was happening in that beautiful home at the holiday. She got the hillbilly. Redneck. Pastor Karen said she didn't, but she did. She's part redneck. And she's part African. It's beautiful. And I watched that impartation. And I thought, oh God, that's amazing. And I felt like the Lord said, what else are you imparting? I thought, oh, Jesus. I can see in the influence of a 14-month-old of how she's constantly worshiping, constantly praying, because that's what's happening in their home. That's what happened in our home. That's the way we raised our kids. How are you raising your kids? What are you modeling for your children? Are you modeling fear, which will cause you to be distorted? You modeling trust, belief? You modeling faithfulness to the Lord? Or are you a Zedekiah? I want you to go to Numbers 13. And you see this in the distorted identity of the spies when God sent the 12 into the promised land. 10 came back with a good report. 2 came back with a bad report. Numbers 13 down to verse 33. It's a profound text. I like the New International Version, which says this. They came back, and here's what they said. We saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and in our sight, we were like grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Come on, read it again with me. We seemed like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Let's all read it together again. We seemed like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we looked the same. Snatch a pebble from my hand. And we look the same to them. Your perception about who you see yourself to be will be demonstrated in the earth, and people will see you that way. And they seemed like grasshoppers in their eyes, and that changed their idea. Were they grasshoppers? No, they weren't grasshoppers. Well, who were they? I mean, think about who they were. Who were they? They were God's agents sent by God to go spy out the land, to show them the amazing grapes and the milk and the honey and all that, and bring back a report. God's plan was to encourage them, not to scare them, but they were distorted. They had fear. They couldn't take the promised land, and as a result, they wandered around for 40 years in the desert. I am convinced that certain territories have not yielded to the glorious gospel of Jesus because there's people filled with fear that are afraid to move forward. God is going to give us the most amazing 2026, and it will happen because you're being loosed by your faith. Don't yield to fear. Refuse to yield to fear. Go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 1 on the screen when you can. Good job, guys, back there. Appreciate you. Just a couple more points and I'll wrap this up. Don't miss the 10 o'clock service. If you're able to be here, we prayed in the new year. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, we'll read it in just a moment. We prayed in the new year. We did watch night services. We did watch night services for the longest time. And then I was talked out of doing a watch night service by some folks that I won't tell you who their names are. And they said, no, everybody wants to be at home. If you want to be at home, go ahead. Have a great time. We're going to pray in the new year. And it doesn't mean that we're more spiritual than you either. It's just, you just be led by the Lord. Now, it was at a watch night service at the outpouring in Topeka, Kansas took place. I will say that. And there's things that have happened at watch night services that are just astounding. And so, yeah, I did a lot of other things on New Year's that I would not like to talk about right now. Now I'm in the house of the Lord on New Year's. Hello. Early on, I was afraid of getting in trouble. Now I do it because I love God. All right. And it doesn't mean you don't love God if you don't come to the watch night service, for God's sake. I'm just saying we have it. If you want to be here, we're going to be here. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to worship. Young adults are helping to run that whole service, and it's going to be amazing. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. If you're all there, say amen. Can we put that up? You got that? 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, even as babes or babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. So he's going to define carnal. For where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, listen closely and leave the scripture up, please. Are you not carnal and behaving carnal, worldly? Can you give me a definition for carnal? Someone pull up ChatGPT, whatever. I want a good definition of carnal. Okay, sinful nature. Excellent. I want another one. As soon as you have it, Jake, let me know. All right. Definition of carnal is
physical or flesh-based rather than spiritual or moral.
Okay, so he's telling them, you guys are like, do you even love God? I mean, what's going on? What's wrong with you? He's rebuking them. He's correcting them. He says, where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behaving like, sorry, I can't hear you. What kind of man? Think about that. Mere man. You might have said to your 7-year-old, stop acting like a baby. You ever said that? The 7-year-old was throwing a pitching little fit in the middle of Walmart. And you say, stop acting like a child. Stop acting like a baby. Maybe. Maybe you ever heard that? That's what he's saying. So, well, wait a second, though. A mirror man, what would be the opposite of mirror? You see, you're not just a man. You're not just a woman. You're not just a person having some spiritual experience. You're actually created by God. And you've been set apart by his word and by his spirit. You've been redeemed. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. And if you haven't, I'd suggest you cross over out of darkness tonight and give your heart to Jesus. A mere man. We are not just men. We're mankind. We're not just mankind. We are supermen. We are superwomen. And literally he's saying, I hear my brother Scott saying spiritual, but a lot of people say spiritual and it doesn't mean anything. When you really understand who you are in God, you don't yield to fear, you move forward in faith, you put your flesh down and you walk a supernatural life of forgiveness and unity and blessing and prayer. And it is what happens. And so he's correcting them saying, you're behaving like a mere man. That is what is happening with Zedekiah. Zedekiah could not trust God. He did not see that he was God's agent. He didn't understand the word of the Lord. And as a result, he shied away unto destruction because he was afraid of his image. He was afraid of those Jews. What are you afraid of? Because what you're afraid of, oh, I'm going to use a old school saying. Your fear will be the dark room that God develops your negative pictures. Film developing is an old thing they used to do with film before electronic photos. This year, we are going to have the greatest year ever because we're not going to be grasshoppers. We're not going to yield to fear. Worship team, come on. Can you just come right up the stairs for me right here? Appreciate you. I got a mocha baby. Praise the Lord. Can be able to rap and everything. Thank you, Jesus. That's not to categorize and say that black people rap and white people don't. It's just a picture. Please don't take it beyond what I'm saying. You're the one with the issue, not me. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Not gonna yield to fear, no, because I've been washed, because I've been cleansed, I've been redeemed. Fear used to have me, used to grab me. Fear used to choke me, fear used to hold me. But God has came and He set me free. He delivered me with a strong hand. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen for the church in 2026, and I'll be declaring that over the next few days and more as God speaks to me. I do not have the set word of the Lord for our house for 2026. Because I've had so much sugar cookies, I'm just glad I'm standing right now without diabetes. Glory to God. Anybody else feel like a sugar cookie? Somebody said, who are you? That I'm the pastor's fat cousin that showed up. Praise the Lord. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to fast and pray. He's going to speak. But this I know. 2026 will be greater than 2025, which was greater than 2024, which was also greater than 2023. And I can say that year after year, God in His infinite grace has loosed us by faith. And there's been times in my life where I've been bound by fear and then realized it, like I was talking about in Kula. I want you to take a look at your life. You take a look at your walk. You take a look at your family. You take a look at what's happening around your table. And if you're single, take a look at your walk with God. Single men, single women, single moms, single dads, every boy, every girl, college students, how are you? How's your walk with God? Are you moving in faith? Are you just sort of going through the motions? Are you yielding to fear when God speaks to you? Are you moving forward? I had somebody tell me just 2 days ago, you're kind of cavalier. I said, really? They said, yeah, you just kind of come in your cavalier. I said, well, I'll pray about that. Because cavalier is not a good thing. I said, are you sure it's not just passion? They said, no, it's cavalier. I said, okay, well, thank you. I'll pray about that. As I walked away, I thought, Lord, is that true? And He said, sometimes. He said, but mostly, son, it's just passion. So correct the part that's cavalier. I thought, yes, Lord. There's a boldness that releases God's power. It's a boldness it takes to land. Timidity is not a spiritual gift. In fact, cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at the book of Revelation. He said, but I feel afraid. I know you might have gotten that. Maybe it was imparted to you by your mom, by your dad, by circumstances. I understand. But you can change. You can change. You'll look at the history of the life of Zedekiah. I went through a lot. And he's an example to us whom the ends of the ages have come. To be a people, not of fear, but a people of faith. And faith will bring you into 2026 with power and demonstration. Don't be a mere man. You've been redeemed. You've been washed. You've been cleansed by the blood. You've been set high upon the hill. He took away your sin. He washed you. He snatched you like a stick from the fire. This is going to be my greatest year. Say it. This is going to be my greatest year ever. Say that. Ever. I not wait for some sudden gloom or sudden tragedy. Going to be prepared instant, in and out of season. Come on, what do you believe in God for? What do you believe in God for? What do you believe in God to do in 2026? You've been through a lot. You're a man of faith. God's hands upon you, leadership gift upon you in the military. I just see a great leadership gift on you, son. And he's going to elevate you. And there was times when you got out of the boat and you heard the Lord say, come, and you got out of the boat to move forward in faith. And it almost seemed like you just got left and abandoned and sank. This is not going to be like that. This is your greatest year. Come on, son. This is your great. Come on, say it. This is my greatest year. Come on, this is my, say it. This is my greatest year. Come on, say it. This is my great. I can't hear you. This is my
greatest year.
Yes. Say it again. This is my
greatest year.
Woo! Lift your hands to Jesus. I've gone long, but you're off tomorrow, so. Nothing on Netflix anyway. One last point and I'll close. Their unbelief of the spies, the unbelief of Zedekiah, and I would say then your unbelief, my unbelief, when we have that, it shows hatred for God. See, where did you get that? Numbers 14, verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? So they've come back with a bad report. They're not, this is God's response to them saying, we're grasshoppers. We seem like grasshoppers, and so we were. We can't do it. We're mere men. This is impossible. Costs too much. Who am I? I'm just a flea in the exist. Who am I? Oh God, what can I do? Not believing the word of the Lord. Zedekiah doesn't believe the word. Just like we do sometimes. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? So literally, are you telling me, Pastor, that when I don't believe the word, I'm rejecting the Lord? Yes. Yes. If you love me, you'll obey my word. Remember having someone tell me, oh, we love God. We love God. What do you mean you love God? You smoke weed. You don't go to church. Don't live for him. Act carnal. Filled with rage. Filled with anger. Never read the word and tell me you love God. Like, where'd you get that from? Not the word. God has a biblical way of loving him. How long will they not believe in me? This is Numbers 14:11 B. How long will they not believe in me? With all the signs that I performed among them, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater and mightier. I mean, literally, what he's saying is I'm going to start over because I just can't deal with these people. And then Moses, you know, he says, no, don't do that. I think about in my own life where God brought me from and what God brought my mama through and my father through, what God has done for my brothers and what God has done for Pastor Karen and her whole family. And I stand having served God, maybe not as long as some of you, maybe longer than a few others. I'm just telling you, God has answered every prayer I have ever prayed. And I stand in awe of the things that he would have done if I could have believed him for it, because I had fear. I couldn't walk in a faith. And even then, he's so gracious and kind. He's like, that's okay. You know, you blew 15 years, but that's okay. It's okay. Come on. And he can redeem. He can do in 1 year what could have taken 15. I'm going to tell you, you might not have come from a family that talked to you and taught you how to walk by faith or taught you to read the word, but you can become that. You can hear what I'm telling you right now. I'm not here because it's a job. I'm here to empower you with the fire of the Holy Ghost to get you to obey his word and not treat him with contempt. What God is going to do through you is going to be astounding. Don't look at your current circumstances. Pray those big, crazy prayers. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Lift your hands, son. Yes, I'm talking to you. You will preach. You will prophesy. And you will flow in a dimension of power that you currently don't understand or know about. You are not limited. You're not limited here either. You're not limited. I see you. I see you by faith. I see what God's going to do through you. Dimly, perhaps, but I see it. believe. Pray those prayers. Don't be a mere man. Understand that he redeemed you. He washed you, he cleansed you, and he placed you at this time in history. He placed you at this time in history to preach, to pray, to prophesy, to demonstrate. God is looking for a people who would set themselves apart and believe him, not treat him with contempt, not treat him with hatred through their unbelief and their distorted view of him and their distorted view of themselves. So they don't, oh, I can't do that. What do you know what you can do? Don't do that, sweetheart. Don't do that. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm so sorry. I'll stop that, Jesus. There's moments in God that are holy. This is one of them. Lift your hands and you can miss things. Father, thank you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.